Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you've been listening to Soundcheck over the years, you probably won't be too surprised if I tell you that I am a fan of the Brooklyn band The National. They've performed in our studio and downstairs in the green space several times over the years, and I think they're one of the best things in New York music for the last decade, and naturally I've been looking forward to their sixth studio album called Trouble Will Find Me. As it turns out, I was in good company. Last week, the album debuted at number 3, selling a career-high 75,000 records in its first week. No Daft Punk, but pretty good for an indie band. But one person out there was not looking forward to hearing Trouble Will Find Me. That's music critic Carl Wilson, who recently penned a piece for Slate.com called simply, Why I Hate the National. Carl joins us from the studios of the CBC in Toronto to explain himself. Hi, Carl.
Hi, John.
So, first line of your story, I hate that goddamn band. Care to explain why?
Well, you know, it was always a band that I had that kind of visceral reaction to right away. I think I first heard them on television 5 years ago or so. Their reputation had preceded them a little bit, and I'd gotten the bill of goods that this was an exciting new indie band. And they had just seemed to sit there so flatly and plod along to me, and I immediately had that feeling of like, this is this kind of craftily put together, tasteful, musicianly band that to me had no spark, and that I immediately felt like was getting overpraised.
Mm. So, and has that opinion not modulated at all in the intervening 5 years?
It has modulated as I've sort of have heard things more broadly and come to appreciate what the sort of sensibility is about. But at the same time, I think that, you know, what I wanted to write about in the Slate piece was the idea that that visceral initial reaction is something that on some level I want to defend. I want to defend my right to not sit down and thoughtfully take in everything that they're doing, but to actually sort of stand my ground and say that initial gut-level reaction is a really valid part of our reactions to music, and just allowing yourself to have the emotions that you have in relationship to something that people are trying always to talk you out of your reaction to.
So it's okay to hate a band. And in Carl Wilson's case, the band he hates is this one, The National.
Oh, that breaks behind the houses. I don't see what's strange about this. Tiny bubbles hang above me. It's a sign that someone loves me. I can hardly stand upright. In my head upon the light. I have faith but don't believe it. It's not there enough to leave it. Everything I love is on the table. Everything I love is out to see. I have only two emotions, careful fear and dead devotion. I can't get the balance right.
Don't Swallow the Cap is from the new album by the Brooklyn band The National. The record's called Trouble Will Find Me. Carl Wilson, you still with me?
I'm still here.
Carl's article.
I almost nodded off along the way there, but not quite.
Carl's Slate.com piece is called Why I Hate the National, and today on Soundcheck we're talking about why I hate Carl Wilson. No, just kidding. All right, you have a right to hate whoever you want to hate, Carl, but you are the guy who wrote a whole book about learning to love Celine Dion. I mean, your whole ethos seems to be, no, don't be a hater.
I think that's, you know, in some ways this piece is kind of a counterbalance to that exercise that I went through, because I think that one of the things that you want to do is distinguish between a reaction to a kind of music that really seems not for you, that really seems to belong to some other whole segment of humanity. And I think if that's the case, if you're kind of going like, I'm just not the kind of person, this is some people who listen to that seem to me to be kind of dumb, like all of those kinds of social reactions that can kind of be encoded in our reactions around our taste, then you have to be wary. Then it seems like perhaps there's an ethical issue. Perhaps there's a lack of understanding of, you know, other sides of humanity that you should concern yourself with. And when you sort of dismiss all music that is sentimental or all music that is aggressive, you know, those kinds of things that people do, then perhaps you're shutting yourself off from too much of experience in life. But on the other hand, when things are just, you know, when it's within your rubric already and you're just distinguishing between preferring one form of something and another form of something, I think that there's something healthy and enjoyable about expressing your distaste. And I think that that's the counterbalance to that kind of argument that I've made in the past.
Okay, so when you wrote the book about learning to love Celine Dion's music, that was, you would dismiss that as music from a separate part of the population, whereas the national, you're like, you're their target demographic, you should love this band, and you have, you know, you have the right to say, no, I don't love this band.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, it's I feel like I'm very much in the target market. And one of the people who responded to this piece said, you know, part of it perhaps is that feeling of knowing that you are exactly the kind of person that whoever is marketing this has in mind, and, you know, feeling like this is being made just for me, and I don't want to feel like I'm just there as a target demographic,
right,
for something.
Right.
So it's almost like that's just too much on the nose.
Now, in your article, Carl, you write about this song, Pink Rabbits, from The National. You write, I fear it would be like if I, as a fellow vocationally thinky type, led a rock band. Let's listen to this.
You didn't see me, I was falling apart. I was a television version of a person with a broken heart. You didn't see me, I was falling apart. I was a white girl in the crowd of white girls in a park. I was a television version of a person with a broken heart. And everybody was gone. You were staring down the street cause you were trying not to crack up. And Bone and Drag was still on. Now I only think about Los Angeles when the sun kicks out.
Pink Rabbits, from the latest album by The National. The album's called Trouble Will Find Me. They are the subject of Carl Wilson's article in Slate.com, the piece called Why I Hate The National. So that song you wrote would be as if you had led a rock band. Carl, is this a case of you sort of recapitulating Groucho Marx, you know, the old I wouldn't want to join a club if they would have me kind of thing?
Perhaps there is some level of that. But I think it's, you know, as it's the side of myself that, you know, in my own work, I concern myself with of not wanting to be just a good, diligent student, but wanting to sort of break through something and actually find insight. And, you know, that song in particular, I feel, is very self-conscious and very smart about being this kind of self-conscious person. But at the same time, it's all this sort of feeling like it's like, oh, someone's done their homework and written a very well put together explanation of an emotional state, and then some very talented musicians have gotten together and made some nice sounding arrangement around it, but that the energy to me,
you make that
is
sound like
always
a bad thing
in that contained way. Well, I think that for an artist, you know, that there needs to be something more than just executing the job at hand competently.
All right. Now, yesterday, Carl, on the program, we were talking about prog rock, you know, and how there's been a recent series of articles sort of collected in a book that really defend a style of music that had become kind of a joke. You know, it was seen as ponderous and too smart and too ostentatious for its own good. Are you I mean, here's a band in the National where, like that opening song that we heard, I Should Live in Salt, you know, it took me two or three times listening to it to figure out what those rhythms were, those alternating sevens and fours or whatever it is. You know, is that, does that sort of thing set you off?
Not necessarily. I think that what one of the interesting things in the comparison between the National and prog rock, because I agree there's some kind of continuum going on there in terms of bringing some sophisticated instrumental knowledge to bear on composing rock music. But like the thing that prog rock at least had was some kind of goofy over-the-topness that, yeah, you know, the yeah. National never quite seems to have the energy to work itself up to.
Have you seen Matt Berninger perform on stage with a glass of wine in his hand and like flopping all around? I mean, there's a goofy kind of quality sometimes to him.
Yeah, to the live performance to some degree. But, I mean, at the same time, it almost feels like he's just doing that because that's what he needs to do to, like, bother to get up there.
I don't know. All right. One of the songs you mentioned as an early experience of the National for you is the song Fake Empire from the 2007 album Boxer. The song begins with several rhythms going at the same time. Let's hear the beginning of this tune from the National.
We're half awake in a fake empire. All right,
Fake Empire, the beginning of the song from the National from their 2007 album Boxer. Carl, so far so good, or what is it about this song that gets you going?
You know, I think that, you know, that was probably the first song by the National that I ever heard, and I always thought it was hilarious that the critique that was kind of being leveled at the subjects of the song of this kind of half awakeness. I'm like, oh, that's exactly how this song makes me feel, is half awake. And, you know, I mean, again, you're sort of pointing to the rhythmic stuff in the piano, which is very nice, but, you know, nothing new. All of the sort of musical tricks that are being used are long-standing things, and it's nice that they're bringing to bear some things from slightly different styles, but it doesn't take away from that kind of plodding feeling to me. In fact, in some ways, the fact that they're kind of demonstrating and driving home the fact that there's this like rhythmic level happening and then little filigrees of style happening over top of it, it all just, again, feels very sort of schematic.
What about at the end when the brass instruments come in and sort of underline and sort of amplify all of the things you've been talking about?
Actually, I think that that's a strong moment in the National's catalog. Like, I had remembered it because I revisited it while I was writing this piece, and I'd remembered it as just sort of a big bombastic ending. But it's actually a lot richer than I'd remembered, and there's actually some really beautiful stuff in the last moments of that song.
That is the end of the song Fake Empire by The National from their 2007 album called Boxer. And we're talking with Carl Wilson, the writer and music critic based in Toronto, about his Slate.com piece called Why I Hate The National. And so, you know, you wrote that Owen Pallett, who is a composer and arranger and has worked with some of the guys in The National, he responded to your article by saying something like, I mean, I get the exact wording right, Carl, but that The National, yeah, they're the ultimate, I hate that band except for that one song band. Now, Is that, I mean, is there one song, one national song that you, you know, you hate the national except for that one song?
Not really. You know, I kind of was searching for that because I loved Owen's phrase that way. It's like that band sucks except for that one song.
Right.
That's a paradigm we can all recognize, right? We all know that we have bands in our lives that we feel that way about. And it seemed like a really good thing to deploy. But to me, you know, even the better songs of the National that I listen to, it all kind of blurs together in the end. You know, partly Matt Berninger's persona as a frontman is so consistent. He's always sort of coming from this like slightly hangdog, you know, building up to a little bit of devotion, a little bit of self-hatred. It's very, very consistent song to song. And so even when I find something a little prettier or more compelling, you know, I talked about the song Demons on the new album,
right,
that, you know, as something that I do find more commanding. At the same time, it all ends up sort of turning into the same gray slurry in my mind an hour later.
Well, apart from Owen Pallett's sort of response to your article, I mean, how much vitriol have you gotten from national fans like me?
You know, I was actually expecting a lot more, but I was pleased to get a response where a lot of people were like, I disagree with you about this band, but I understand what you're talking about the sort of cathartic need to be able to express your dislike towards something that you know a lot of people respect, that you know is well done, you know, to even be able to say, I know that's good, but I don't like it.
Well, and it seems like you've just, in a couple of phrases, encapsulated what it has taken many national fans reams of paper to write in the comments section there on the Slate page. Are they as prolix as their band? Is that how you take that?
Well, as a writer, I can never really fault people for prolixness. I try to battle it in my own way. But, you know, there was another side of the comments that were like, you might not like something, but this is a very long, involved argument about not liking something. Why don't you just move on with your life, which I can also respect.
So Carl Wilson, choosing to be a hater for once after writing his 2007 book, Celine Dion's Let's Talk About Love, A Journey to the End of Taste. His latest effort is this Slate.com piece called Why I Hate the National. You'll find a link to it on our website, soundcheck.org. We'll end with Demons, which Carl admits is one of the new album's better songs, although, as he just told us, still not enough to change his mind about the band. Carl, sort of nice talking to you again.
Sort of nice talking to you too, John.
Thanks for being with us on Soundcheck.
Thanks.
Never kept me up before. Now I've been awake for days. I can't fight it anymore. I'm going through an awkward phase. I am secretly in love with everyone that I grew up with. Do my crying underwater. I can't get down any farther.
That's the track Demons from the new album Trouble Will Find Me by The National. Is there an artist that you feel that you're supposed to like, but you just can't? Name some names at 866-939-1612 or tweet us at Soundcheck. Up next, a look inside the music industry alliance that created the music video service called Vevo. This is Soundcheck.